This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's a Joy Law podcast from Jack and Dean on Joy.
You are with Jack and Dean for the Tuesday Drive Home on Joy 84.9. It's time for
Joy Law.
That's right, it is the time of the show where every week we discuss legal issues of interest or concern to the LGBTIQ+ community and its allies.
Well done.
How's that? Now, we've been talking about births because it is your birthday, but now we're going to turn the tables a little bit and talk about deaths. Not marriages, but births and, well, not necessarily deaths, but we
are going to talk... What a segue!
Power of Eternity.
I'll take my shovel and I'll dig, dig, dig.
Power of Eternity. And joining us live in the studio is Inez from KHQ Lawyers.
Hello.
Hello. Hello again.
Hi, Jack and Dean, and happy birthday, Jack.
Thank you very much.
The party horn for every birthday wish. There we go.
Yes.
So, powers of attorney.
Yes, powers of attorney. Have you got one?
I do not.
You do not?
What have I done? Should I?
Yes, you should have one. And what about you, Dean? Do you have one?
No, I don't.
Right.
I have a will, but I don't think I've...
Dean owns more things than I do, so he should
have
one.
And I've got a dog. So I should have one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, maybe I start by telling you what a power of attorney is.
Please,
that'll help.
Okay, so a power of attorney is a document which allows a person, who we call the principal, to appoint another person to do what the person, the principal, can legally do. That's sort of the general gist of it. The person who gets appointed is called an attorney. And it is important to have a power of attorney, just the same as it's important to have a will, because they pretty much do a similar thing, just for a different time period. So if you imagine your will, it only kicks in when you die, and it lasts until your stuff has been dealt with.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, weren't we? Goodness me.
Yes, that's right. And and a power of attorney allows someone to deal with your stuff while you're still alive, but maybe not able to deal with your stuff because, you might have lost your marbles or you're in a coma in hospital or whatever. And it actually stops when you die. So the power of attorney, and I'm doing hand gestures here, very good for radio.
Very well done.
Is for a different time period. It's from when you basically sign or say that this power of attorney is supposed to operate to when you die, and then the will kicks in and deals with the stuff after you've passed away.
Oh, so you have a separate power... of attorney can be separate to the estate person who does the probate.
Yes, doesn't have to be the same person.
Oh, it can be a different person.
That's right. And there are different powers of attorney. So there's a whole heap of powers of attorney, just general powers of attorney that may be dealing with property just because you go overseas and you want to sell a house.
Yep.
But what we are usually talking about is an enduring power of attorney, or there are two sorts of enduring powers of attorney. One deals with financial and personal matters, and then there's one that deals with medical affairs. And you might have completely different people for all these aspects. So you might have someone who is really good with finances, and you might have someone else who is much better in determining which nursing home you should go into. And then again, you might have someone who is, much more able to turn off the life support machine or keep it on for, whatever you want to do.
Who knows this many people? That's right.
It takes a village. It takes a village.
That's right. You might just appoint the same person for everything.
There's so many things to think about, though.
That's exactly right. And you shouldn't, leave it to the last minute. So with powers of attorney, it's hard enough to talk people into having a will, and everyone should have a will because, you can be a 17-year-old who only has $2.70 in super, but the super might come with a, death benefit.
Yes.
And so, therefore, the person should have a will, no matter whether they're 17 or 77. And it's the same with powers of attorney, really. Once you're 18, it's a good idea to have a power of attorney because we just don't know when something is going to happen to us. And
also, you're saying don't wait until you are infirm or elderly or approaching your twilight years.
No.
Now.
No. Well, the thing is, you just never know when it is that you are approaching the twilight years, or when you might become forgetful, or when you might be, hit by a bus and you're just in a coma or something. So you just don't know.
It's always a pleasure having you here.
I know.
I take the bus, so I'm on it. I'm the hitter.
I turned 18 many, many moons ago. The people that I was hanging around when I was 18 probably no longer in my life. So if I was to have done my power of attorney back then...
Who's it for?
I have to keep probably updating it every time. Mm.
Yes, make us lawyers rich, of course, by updating the documents.
No.
That's what we want.
No. But it's, you know, you are supposed to update or have a look at your powers of attorney all the time. So my children have just turned 18 and I basically forced them to have a power of attorney and a will.
Thanks,
Mark. But I think
it's... PlayStation.
Yeah, take it away.
That's right. Here's your birthday gift, a will. But we always say to the clients, you really ought to review your documents every 5 years or so. Do it when you do your tax return or whatever, just to make sure that the people are still in your life and they are still the right people to look after your estate. But usually, you know, a lot of people would perhaps appoint family members or someone who is more likely to hang around, perhaps.
And I assume you have to have a relationship, or you need to tell the person that you've appointed that they now have this power.
Yes,
it can't
not
be a
surprise
document. That,
it's even more than that. They have to sign a statement of acceptance.
Oh, right, okay.
So they have to accept the role and they have to sign, you know, certain, that they understand the obligations involved in it. So it's become a little bit more complicated now. I mean, you can still do the document and it's an absolutely valid document, but it can't be used until the attorney actually signs the statement of acceptance. And that's usually done with, you know, at the same time.
But isn't that, as you say, power of attorney, and it's the principal assigns the power to an attorney, but it's not an attorney in a legal sense, it's somebody who assumes responsibility of the attorney.
That's exactly right. It's like an agent.
Yeah. Well, I'm an attorney, agent, I'm the lawyer. Yeah.
Yes, not an attorney like in the American legal sense.
Yeah.
No, it's an agent. So you appoint an agent to... Look at it very simply. You go overseas and you want to do a property transaction in Victoria. You know, you can't be here to sign the contract. You can't send the money across or whatever. So you appoint an agent to do that for you. But with the enduring power of attorney, the difference between an enduring power of attorney and a normal power of attorney is that, or general power of attorney, is that the enduring power of attorney doesn't lapse when you lose capacity. And that's the whole crux of the thing. You want to do it when you are well aware of what you are doing, and when you can express your wishes, so that in case something happens, and maybe it never does happen, but in case something happens, you can appoint the person that you want to look after your things rather than leave it to chance or legislation or the court or whatever may be. So you want to be in that position where you can make that your own decision.
So sometimes when a loved one becomes incapacitated and they're perhaps not able to exercise their own decision-making powers, family members can sometimes be at odds with what's in the best interest of that family member. So it might be around, dare I say, flicking the switch or making some really significant decisions about moving Nana into a home or whatever. Can another family member dispute the power of attorney if they've not been named in it?
Yes, no. It depends, really. Like the lawyers love to say, it always depends. So, A, if you don't have a power of attorney, the family has to go to VCAT, and that's the thing. Like, it's much easier to do a power of attorney. It costs you a little bit of money, but at least it's in place.
Yes,
if you don't have a power of attorney and something happens to someone or to the principal, to the person, then the family, when they are really in a stressed situation where they have to care for that person, then also have to trot off to VCAT and you get an administration order or a guardianship order, depending on what they require. And the same applies if there's a dispute. So if you appoint an attorney and then attorney makes some decisions and the rest of the family doesn't like it, well, the rest of the family can go to VCAT and dispute the power of attorney.
Yes.
And then it really comes down to the evidence to say, well, you know, mum, dad, they were in the right frame of mind when they appointed me. They appointed me because they knew that I'm going to do the right thing. Here's all the evidence that I have done the right thing.
Yes.
So go away and let me do my work. Mm. Or at the moment, we're dealing with a lot of elder abuse.
Yes.
You know, you might have...
sickening.
That's right, where you might have just someone appoint brother and sister as their attorneys, and then brother goes overseas and sister does all the caring but might also make decisions that the brother may not know about, may not understand, may not appreciate, and then often you have a falling out because one person's done something that the other one doesn't understand, and then there's a dispute that you then have to manage, and that usually ends up in VCAT.
Oh.
messy. And that's why you're here saying get a power of attorney, because you've seen the messy side.
Well, that's right. Get a power of attorney and also get some good advice around it, because you can just download the forms and do it yourself. But it's much better to get good advice around it, in particular if you want to avoid things like elder abuse. So there are some ways of drafting powers of attorney that can minimize the risk of, you know, one family member running off and doing something really odd.
I mean, as you say, elder abuse, it seems to be on the rise. Maybe it's just being reported more. We're having it as part of our national dialogue and conversation about such matters, but it's quite scary.
That's right. And there is a law reform commission looking into elder abuse. I suppose that's why it's sort of more in the press. But I have to say that I have been, before VCAT, much more often, particularly this and last year, with elder abuse issues. It does seem to be on the rise, or perhaps just more reported, or people are just more aware of it.
Yes.
And of course, we're also all getting older, and we are more affluent in older age these days, so that also contributes to it
on
the rise.
Jack is 34 today, don't you know?
I think I'm just getting better with age, though.
Like good wine.
Going backwards.
Thank you very much, Naz. We look forward to speaking to the team from KHQ Lawyers again next week.
Thanks.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.